So I'm going to read and finish the night by reading from this new collection, Mulberry. This gives you a sense of what it will look like. It won't have on the image the words "not for sale," as this one does. yeah. So the book takes its title from the leaf that silkworms eat. And one of the things that makes the silkworm so valuable is that its cocoon is woven of a single strand. And it struck me that if you imagine that single line and recoil it, and if you've partitioned that line with different times or events or concerns, say 1973 when I was born to today, that when you coil the line back up, that very different areas actually come in contact with one another. And I became very interested in the way that, and concerned with in poetry, that often to say "I" in a poem is to mean someone quite different from oneself. And that's both exhilarating and I think somewhat terrifying. And whatever this image of the mulberry cocoon, the cocoon of the silkworm, gives to me is that it makes me think that these eyes that aren't quite oneself actually quite radically are, and that the poem is oftentimes a radical experiment in the range of what it is to say "I." And so this poem is constructed in a strange way. There is this single line representing that unwound cocoon that, at least to my ear, is strangely confessional, that refuses to end formally when a poem normally should end, that wants to go as far as it possibly can into crisis. At the same time, then, when these breaks, there are three different kinds of poems, and they're in different places on the page. Flush to the left are poems that reflect my ongoing concern with early American history, Puritan diaries, discovery literature, things of that sort. Centered on the page are poems that deal with the erotic or with art. And flush to the right of the page are poems that deal with my concerns with theology and philosophy. And once those end, it goes back to the single strand until at the middle of the poem, one of the parts I'll read, it gets to a final point and then begins rewriting itself as if the poem suddenly realizes that, as might be, I suppose, true, that in the only solution in crisis is the resource that is oneself. And then the poem, as it progresses, instead of these three columns, begins to recycle the language that's been in the columns to fuse it together into a single poem, to take every separate strand and weave it into one, and out of that unifying hope, resolve the pain. So I'm going to try to read enough that you can get a sense of how it works. And I'm going to start with a poem that is taken from William Byrd's, references William Byrd's diary, where he talks about making love with his wife as committing uncleanness. The Puritans. I find it kind of quaint.